CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Monday. Hope everybody had a blessed and sacred weekend. Speaking of blessedness and sacristicity, it's Jax. Hey, Jax.
Hi, Turdy Lou, little turtle.
It's turtle time with Turdy Lou.
Turtle time. Hey, Clurdio, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing okay. I had a bout of food poisoning last night. I believe that's what it was. I don't really want to get into it, but it was giving notovirus circa 2021. I am triggered. I am traumatized. I'm still deeply unwell, but I'm much better. And I'm feeling grateful that you're on bed rest so that we don't have to go into the studio today. We're both podcasting from home. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm in no shape to be leaving the house.
So what I should be saying is, yeah, welcome.
Pretty much that's what you should be saying.
What can I say except yad welcome?
It's so great to be back on the mic, on the ones and the twos with Jax, you know?
Yeah, it is. I missed you. We podcasted on Thursday, but then Friday your big episode with Jax dropped.
That's Turdy why it feels Lou, like it's been so long.
Turdy Lou making waves, making headlines.
All right, everyone, what did you think about the Jax episode? I thought it was quite redeeming. You know Jax, he talks a lot. And, you know, we kind of have that in common. You know, we like to cut each other off. And
you do.
And I was really kind of, you know, mindful to be measured and speak when spoken to because it wasn't about me. And I think I did a good job of, not speaking over him while he was speaking over me, you know?
Yeah. No, it was good. But you're also just, friends. So it doesn't have to be, 60 minutes. It could be more of a conversation. And also, that's what a podcast is.
And I was really excited because
you were just podcasting
because the AV queen in me was so excited that we got to use our new third camera. I don't know if you guys noticed on YouTube. We had not one, not two, but three angles. And it was really exciting to be able to test that out with Jax. And I think it turned out swimmingly.
But you didn't use your new AI.
No. And I don't want people knowing that I'm using AI. Don't share that with them.
Okay. Sorry. Turdy doesn't use AI.
No. I definitely don't use AI software to edit.
Someone a while ago made some TikTok videos of my voice using AI. You had sent them to me. They were so funny. And I rewatched them recently because I was just telling Zach because we were talking about AI. And he was like, don't you worry that the toast could be replaced by AI. I was like, no, I've seen a script and it's really terrible. So that's fine.
Yeah.
But I actually did. There were these videos that recreated my voice and said stuff that I would say. And now I can't get it out of my head.
Okay, but it did not sound like you.
It did a little bit upon rewatching. And then also, I guess the person who made the TikTok wrote the script and they know how I speak because it was no, that's Turdy's book. I can't sign that. Come on, Brew. Mommy needs a drink.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, but that's not AI because there was a human being behind it.
That's true. You can't take behind the humanity out of me.
You can't take the humanity out of the toast. And that's why I sleep well knowing AI is not coming for my job.
I do sleep well. On that front, you know, but I also was warm and I need to get a pregnancy pillow and I'm not sleeping well.
I didn't sleep that well either because of the food poisoning, but just know the food poisoning was keeping me up and not the future of AI.
Yeah, no, just know it was whether or not to buy a pregnancy pillow and if so, which one would I buy was keeping me up.
I just feel the one on Amazon, the one that comes up suggested is good enough, you know?
That's what I bought last time. Too big. And not helpful enough for how much space it takes up. Then I got a different one that's by Boppy. It's just two balls that it's actually much better. But I feel like I could do even better this time.
All right, put it out there. See what the toasters recommend.
Yeah, I got a Facebook ad for one yesterday that looked really scrumptious.
Facebook ads are so effective. It's disgusting.
Yeah. They really are.
We share a Facebook, so I get like a lot of kids stuff. Which
I get all Taylor Swift videos all the time.
Oh, really?
All Taylor. Like, I know everything about her and everything that goes on at her concerts.
That's so funny that, like, you're getting my targeted information and I'm getting your targeted information.
I know. Why can't they figure out?
Figure it out. Like, based on device. Who it's not too? That hard. Mark.
Like, do better, so Mark. They're so smart, but they just miss the mark.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So we've got a great show. We've got stories. We have so much TV to recap because Jackie's been on her bed rest grind with her new television from Costco that we bought on Instacart. And she's putting in the work. She's retroactively recapping everything.
Yeah, so I'm all caught up on Real Housewives of New Jersey from last week. This weekend, I got all caught up on Summer House. I watched the whole season and the whole reunion. It was only two parts. And I am just shocked by the way that I feel and how it's so out of step with the narrative of the show.
Yeah.
And out of step with Andy. Did you watch both reunions?
Yes.
Andy, like, took a side and took a stand. Yeah. And I just, like, I can't believe how opposite I feel. But I'll save it for the TV recap. But that was just really shocking to me.
And the TV recap, I also watched the fourth and final season of Never Have I Ever, which, like, is just, like, a show for teenagers that I'm obsessed with. Ben is even more in love with it than I am, so I'm going to save that for the TV recap, too. But highly recommend. It's a great bed rest show. It's, like, short episodes. It's funny. It's light. It's cute. It really gives a deep respect and admiration for Indian culture as well.
Thanks for the recommendation. I'll add it to the list, though I'm going through my list really slowly because I don't have, like, that much time to watch TV. And then at night I watch with Zach. So we have, like, our together show. We're watching Love and Death. And we watched the third episode, and he fell asleep for the whole thing. So now we're kind of at a crossroads. So we're at a crossroads.
Like, do you move on without him, or now you have to rewatch the third episode?
Do we rewatch it together? Do I just fill him in and we can forge ahead? Or do we go separate ways?
The thing is, it's, like, it's only a seven-episode series. So there's not, like, a lot of fodder. Like, every episode, like, needs to be watched. And it's good, and he should.
I felt like that episode, actually, like, I could just tell you what happened. Because it was just, like, getting us to a place where now things are going to pop off.
You know, like, the show starts, really, on episode four. Like, the whole thing. But I don't know. Context is important.
But he, like, doesn't pay that close attention anyway. Like, he always is falling asleep.
Okay, so just move on.
He's always on his phone. Like, he's not like me. Like, if I didn't hear something, I will rewind.
Yeah, me too. All right, so maybe just move on.
Otherwise, we're going to be stuck on episode three forever.
And maybe it's important for Zach to learn, you know, the consequences of his actions. You fall asleep, you miss stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, at least, like, say you're going to sleep and I'll watch Summer House.
Oh, that is so Ben. Like, we're watching something and I could feel his presence, like, shutting down. I'm like, are you going to sleep? Like, just tell me. I'll turn the TV off. We can go to bed together. Like, he's like, no, I'm just resting my eyes. Like, always resting his eyes. And I'm like, no, you're not. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, I hate being awake by myself. So if Ben's going to sleep, like, I will go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's like one of my biggest pet peeves.
That's so annoying. Well, speaking of going to sleep, it's, like, been taking me a while to fall asleep these days because I'm just so uncomfortable. So I started a new book last night, The Senator's Wife by Liv Constantine. Have you read anything by her?
I have.
You have.
What has she written?
They're all, you know, like,
is it the last names. Time I saw you with the red necklace, the red book with the necklace on the cover?
Yes.
You recommended. I loved that book.
Okay, so I'll let you know about this one.
Okay.
I'm like 20%. It's good. And also in some other book news.
Yeah, by the way, I want to clear up some rumors going around about us because I got so many messages about this.
What's the rumor?
The rumor. Okay, so a lot of people saw critically acclaimed Australian queen author Sally Hepworth yesterday revealed the cover and title of her new book. She sent it out, I think, in her newsletter, and she gave, like, a little synopsis about what the book is about. And, you know, the toasters were immediately put on alert because the book is about three sisters named Claudia, Jackie, and Margot. And everyone was like, oh my God. And I posted it on my story. I'm like, not us being, you know, the inspiration for the names of these characters. And so many people were messaging me like, oh my God, what a crazy coincidence. Like, is this intentional? And yeah, it's intentional. Like, Sally reached out to me. She was like, I'm going to name some characters after you and Jackie. Is Jackie's full name Jacqueline? And I was like, yes, but like you can do Jackie or Jackie. My full name is Claudia. And we were like, we've known about this for like a while, like maybe a year. And we were like freaking out. And then a few months later, she was like, wait, I think I'm going to do three sisters now. What are your other sisters' names? And I was like, Olivia and Margot. And she chose Margot. And Margot's like a big reader. So Margot's really excited. And Margot loves Sally Hepworth. Margot's like so excited. I don't even know if Olivia would have cared like if she got named after because she doesn't read. But I wanted to clear up that this wasn't some sort of cool winky dink or like we knew, we've been known, we've been in the know.
No, it's as cool as it sounds. Like it's not like an accidentally cool thing that happened. Like it was intentional and Sally chose us to be her sisters. I just hope that they're good scenes, you know?
I think that they're like kind of mischievous, like girlies, but Sally always, the last Sally Hepworth book I wrote, the crazy girl, her name was Heather. And she wrote on the, you know, before the title page, it's like a disclaimer that she did a contest on her Instagram.
A charity auction.
Yeah. And the person who won got to be like the name. So she was like, while Heather is horrible, Heather in real life is actually amazing. And these two characters are not, you know, even remotely similar, but they just share a name. So I do believe we'll be getting our own page like that, too, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. She's always like just wheeling and dealing names of characters in her books. I guess when you write so many books with so many characters, it's like, yeah, you can start just naming them after people you love.
No, totally. And I'm honored. I cannot wait to read this book. It's one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to us.
I know. And because Sally Hepworth is like one, probably top three author of mine.
Same.
Period. I just finished The Soulmate, which I love. Like she has never flopped. So like to know that there's a book that's loosely inspired by our beings.
No. And
that
it's, I don't think it's, by the way, I don't think it's even remotely inspired by us.
No, no. That's why I said loosely inspired by our beings.
But it's not. Like, it has, it's
no,
just
no,
like.
Just in, even if it's just a name, it's extremely loose.
But no, we're not inspired. Like, I feel like Sally makes that really clear. Like, I feel like I know Sally, you know?
No, I know that, like, there's not going to be two that do a podcast and one with red hair. Like, I know that.
Oh, my God. I would love if they were podcasters. But that's the thing. Like, the characters have nothing to do with us besides our names.
They're loosely inspired by our beings, and that just means our name, okay?
Yeah, okay, but like in case they, one of them turns out to be like a murderer or something, like that's not us. We don't murder.
Okay. I don't, whatever. I'm flattered. The end.
No, I'm guffawed beyond, I'm awestruck.
Yeah. When does it come out? I think October.
Yeah, and I still haven't read her recent book, The Soulmate, because it's my select for book club, and my selection is not up for like another month or two, so I have a long way. I have to wait.
Who chooses in October? Maybe you should be like, you know, big swinging dick. I'm gonna choose the book that like is named after me.
Oh my God, I feel like actually like I think there's like two more people. Like I might be October, but no, it's only June. I don't know. I can also ask to be moved. Like the group is very flexible. We actually had to swap this month Natalie for Michelle just because of like some scheduling conflicts.
I think I'm October for the redheads.
I think you should choose it.
I think
also
I
because
to choose it too.
Sally Hepworth is like a safe choice for a book club. Her books have never been bad, and it's always like a really good thriller, and a thriller is always going to like keep a book club back, you know, keep them in good spirits.
Yeah. And I think by then we'll be ready for another thriller, like because we're all trying to do something different with like these most recent choices because we were reading like the same book over and over again. But by then, like I'll be back to thriller.
Well, you know what it is? It's thrilling.
It is thrilling.
It's a thrill.
Tis a thrill. Are you reading anything?
No, I like haven't been able to pick up my Kindle. You know what I mean? Like I read like four books in 1 week, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm on a break, you know? I have no urge to reach for my Kindle and I'm just leaning in.
My break just ended. My watch has ended.
And you know what? I'll have to pick up my Kindle for my book club anyway. So I'll probably then get back into it.
That's what's so great about a book club. Like you can't ever break for that long.
Yeah, like the max you can do is like a month.
Yeah, it keeps you accountable.
Yeah, I love that. Before we dive in, I wanted to tell everyone about just kind of like the craziest thing that happened to me. Two, actually. There's two monumental things that happened to me this weekend.
Does one of them have to do with your forehead?
One of them does have to do with my forehead. I feel like everybody knows this because I posted it on Instagram, but in case you listen to this podcast and don't have an Instagram, in which case, how did you find us? I have been walking around with the biggest fucking like bruise slash hickey slash circle of popped blood vessels right at the center of my forehead. It couldn't be bigger. It couldn't be more omnipresent. It couldn't be more like centered on my face, and it won't go away. It was an auntie-related injury, and the amount of people, mothers, fathers, parents, aunts, uncles, who messaged me saying, oh my God, the same thing happened to me, is absurd. Like, how did I not know that this was a thing? I was at Jackie's house. What day was this, Friday?
I guess so, yeah. We were doing makeup in bed and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, obviously Harry climbed into bed with us and it was amazing. And we had a bunch of toys on the bed and he had some of his their bath toys, correct?
Yeah, they were bath toys that hadn't made it to the bath yet. They were like a new
right,
edition.
Unboxed.
Unboxing.
And they're cool because they're like little fidget spinners, but they suction to the bathtub. So when Harry's, you know, getting his ass washed, somebody can, you know, get to business and Harry can just fiddle with his toys and not be bothered. And I was like, oh, how cute, suction. And I was like, I wonder if this will suction to my forehead. And it did. And then I was like making it spin and Harry, I mean, he wasn't like, he didn't think it was like the funniest, best thing ever. But I got like a little bit of a chuckle,
yeah,
like nothing crazy.
Pity laugh.
Yeah. At least I didn't get nothing, you know? Imagine if I had this big thing on my forehead and he didn't even laugh.
No, he smiled. He was appreciative, but it wasn't like his favorite thing that Auntie Koi has ever done.
No, and when I popped it off, you were like, oh my God, you have a big thing on your forehead. And I was like, I figured it would just be there for like the next 10 minutes or whatever. No, it's been 3 days. I'm pretty sure it's getting worse. It's like purple.
It's not getting worse. It's getting better.
Okay, I just did order some Arnica gel. That's what everyone told me. It like helps bruises heal. It's like what you put on your face after Botox. And it's pretty much been ruining my life. I went out Friday and Saturday night and I had to cake on the most makeup of all time. I don't know how to color correct. I don't know what to do with this thing. I went to a dinner party and got seated next to Martha Stewart and I just know she was looking at my forehead the whole time.
I just feel like if she was what she wasn't and you're so beautiful and distracting that like no
so
one
true.
Even noticed. Plus I saw the so way you true. Looked. You really couldn't tell even with a flash. But she would have respected that it was like an anti-related injury. Like it's a funny story.
Of course, and Martha is a gran. Like, Martha knows the beauty of, you know, being kind of like a second mother to a child.
Yeah.
So she and I had that in common, which was pretty cool. Like, I got invited to this dinner party, and I just, like, RSVP'd. I didn't, like, read the email or anything. So I got to, like, stop doing that because I didn't know, like, what I was walking into. I feel like I was, like, a little bit underdressed. And I go to my seat, and I'm, like, literally sitting next to Martha Stewart, and I was so excited and I really I did my best to like be cool and funny, and when she found out I was a comic she was like, I was asking her a million questions like about Sports Illustrated and she was so proud of Sports Illustrated, and I told her like what a major moment it was for the culture and how like we're so undeserving of Martha's greatness, you know. And then we were like chatting and I was asking her a lot of questions about herself, and then she started to ask me and I was like trying to be so funny and like dazzling, and I think I dazzled. I think she was like really, I think she was into me. She kept like leaning to me and like asking me questions about people around us, and I made her laugh a few times. And honestly, once I made Martha laugh, like I knew I could go home.
If you can make Martha laugh, you can do anything.
Yeah, because Martha's like very, very famous. Like it's actually crazy. I posted a photo of me and Martha, and I was like, Martha, do you like this photo? Do you want me to Facetune it? And she was like, no, I love it. I'm like, okay, great. I didn't want to be disrespectful in any way. The amount of, like, that was probably the most responses I've gotten to a message, like, about posting ever with any celebrity. Like, Martha's so famous. It's kind of crazy.
No, and it's like, she's famous for her taste and her acumen. Like, it's a different sort of
fame,
but it's also even like more intimidating to sit next to her. It's not like she's like, you know, an amazing actress and she's in these movies and then that's separate from who she is. Like, she's famous for who she is in her soul.
No, but I would argue, like, depending on how old you are, like, your connection to Martha, she's so multi-generationally famous. And, like, I'm sure different people are obsessed with her for different reasons. I'm sure, like, a younger crew is obsessed with, like, her Snoop Dogg thing. But, like, an older woman is more into, like, her pies, you know?
Yeah.
She's so famous. It was so crazy.
She's so famous. But I guess you're also famous for your soul, Turdy. So maybe you guys had that in common.
For my soul?
Yeah, like for who you are.
I guess.
You know, for like your personality and your being.
Honestly, I don't want to be compared to Martha. Like, are you trying to destroy me? Like, I'll become a monster.
I don't know. Turdy Lou and Martha Stew, iconic duo.
Iconic do, except like something, probably one of the worst things that could ever happen to a human being happened to me at this dinner party.
Oh, goodness. Oh, do I already know what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was like, what else?
So this dinner party was to honor this like really major Egyptian archaeologist. He's like responsible for all of the incredible discoveries in like the pyramids, the Sphinx. He's so smart. And he's like this hilarious older gentleman. And Ben was talking to him. His name is Dr. Zahi Hawass. And he was just like, he made a little speech thanking everyone for welcoming him to New York. And he was hysterical. And Ben was talking to him, just, he was asking questions about us. And Ben was like, oh, my wife does stand up. And he turns to me because he was also sitting on the other side of me. He was like, I love stand up comedy. And I was like, oh, great, me too. He's like, do something. I was like, oh my God, I will die. And everyone at the table was like, yeah, do it, do it. So I was like, okay, I'll do a little something for the table. And he's like, no, stand up, because there were four tables at this dinner party. They're like, they start clinking their glasses. They're like, do something for everyone. And I'm like, oh my God, this is my worst nightmare.
Literally.
But it's one of those situations, if I had said no, like that's such a losery thing to do.
Beyond.
That's like when someone's like, oh, did you know this person has an amazing voice? And then they won't sing for you. Like, it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's not the same because, like, you can't just, like, do comedy. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's so personal.
It's so personal. But, like, I was certainly, like, this man, like, is so, the mayor of New York came to this dinner party. Like, this man is so respect, and he wanted to hear me. So I was like, I have to do it. And I just, you know what? I was actually really proud of myself. I was like, oh, sure, of course. Like, I didn't say no. I stood up. I wasn't nervous. I wanted to, like, feel confident. So I just felt confident. I just decided to be confident. Mm-hmm. And I did, like, a little bit from my
special,
which is coming out soon. And I haven't been on stage since January. So I was, like, kind of rusty. And I was just also just trying to feel, like, the vibe of the crowd. This was, like, you know, an intellectual, sort of older crowd. But they, you know, they loved it. Ben said I did a good job. I definitely wasn't, like, amazing. I don't think I was going to, you know, get any offers for, you know, private gigs. But I didn't embarrass myself. And I think I did good. And I saw Dr. Zahi, like, cackle at this one joke. And that made me feel so good. I did, like, a few minutes. I really, when it was over, oh, my God, I was not okay. Like, I was like, I have to leave.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really cool, and I got to meet Martha, and hopefully Martha thought it was funny, so, like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. She's kind of like a comic queen.
She is, and I feel like she's so unserious. That's what's so surprising about her. Like, her whole vibe is, like, rich coastal grandmother, like, expensive weddings, expensive homes at the beach. But, like, in her real life, I feel like she's, like, so low-key. She was wearing, like, sandals. She was so chill.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, it was, like, a cool weekend, and then I got to hang out with Harry on Sunday. And he was
biggest celeb, biggest archaeologist, always excavating, always discovering new things.
Constantly digging. Dig, dig, dig. And he was in, if you were like are around babies, you know, like they have different moods and they're always like cute and sweet. But he was in like a really special mood yesterday. It was actually as though he was delivered straight from heaven. Like the way he gave me so many kisses, he was cackling at Auntie. Cackle, 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 joke, 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 joke. Oh, my God. It was one of the more special times of my life, honestly. It was better than Martha. No offense, Martha. I love you, queen.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, you got him at the right time.
At his finest.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, no, it was a really nice weekend. Got to see my turdy Lou and catch up.
Can we give, like, a bed rest update to everyone? Like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm feeling as good as possible, you know, just trying to stay busy as, you know, and just, but I weirdly, I'm really busy. Like, I'm not bored. I feel like at the end of my pregnancy with Harry, I was also weirdly, like, just in bed all the time because I wasn't leaving the house. And I don't feel like that where I'm just, like, stir crazy.
Well, but, because you're also, like, a full-time mother.
Right, there's so much
from
going
the
on.
Bed.
Right, from the bed, like, we're still podcasting, like, I still have other work to do, and so, like, the day kind of, like, my day still has, like, structure and routine,
good.
But I'm just, like, kind of doing everything from the bed, but no, I feel good, just, you know, for everyone who, like, knows the whole story of the cervix, like, I'm just trying to
keep it tight.
Keep it closed.
You're really pregnant, like, you honestly, like, have, like, a round belly.
Yeah, it's mad big, and, like, all the, you know, pregnancy, like, all your organs are, like, compressed, and so I'm just, like, short of breath, and
oh, no.
It's, like, it's just a lot, but it's all good.
Okay, thank God. Fabulous. We love the bed. I was having this conversation at dinner with Taylor Strecker, because she, her and Taylor are, like, always asking about you, making sure you're good, and she was, like, is Jackie, like, loving bed rest, like, hating bed rest? Because, like, for me, you know, bed rest sounds like heaven. I'm like, no, same. But Jackie has, like, a one-year-old. Like, it's not the same. Like, it's actually torture.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's actually torture. And it's, like, I'm in New York, and there's so many things that, like, I wish I could mm-hmm. be doing here. But I guess, like, if I wouldn't be in New York if not for, like, the circumstances. So it's, like,
right.
fruitless to just be, like, I wish we could be doing this and that. But there's, like, you know, there's a couple things. It's, like, it would be so nice to just be able to go and do
right.
that I can't do. Even, like, going to the studio is, like, a treat.
Yeah.
and I'm here and I can't do it, but it is what it is.
No, and Harry's loving life in New York.
Yeah, he is. He loves the adventure.
He's booked and busy every day. I can't even get time with him on the calendar.
Yeah, you got to get on his schedule.
His schedule's like kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because he wakes up at 6. So like half his day is spent before you even wake up.
No, and it's like I wake up and podcast, and then by the time I'm done podcasting, Harry's ready for his nap.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't really logically see him on the weekdays before 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because then he has to like have lunch.
You guys don't sync really before 1. It's true.
It sucks.
And something that I've just been kind of waiting to say since a few minutes ago is that what I've noticed.
Yeah.
Is that underneath your sweatshirt today, it seems as though you're wearing spooky, scary skeleton pajamas, a new edition.
Yeah, okay. I put these on intentionally to podcast with you from home. I wanted to give you like a little bit of a spook. But then right before we started, I got freezing. So I put a sweatshirt on top. So I know you can't see. I'm wearing matching pants.
You can't get by me.
I'm wearing matching pants and top of my new spooky, scary skeleton pajamas. For those who know who've been following for a while, the pajamas I wore pretty much every day for the last 5 years have disintegrated. And I did toss them. People were really mad. They're like, how could you not keep them, like take them to the tailor. Okay, I'm like, okay, we need
to
be
like, you don't know the sweeper. If that's what you think, you don't know the sweeper.
That's true. Not only do I sweep, like my house, like if there's clutter, it's gone in a second. I don't have anything I don't need in this house. But also, like, we're headed for a recession. Like, I'm not about to, you know, spend $100 repairing a pair of pajamas from Target. Okay, like we have to. Logic has entered the room.
Yeah. And she's the sweeper. That was like when we were talking about sandwiches, people were giving us recommendations. They're like, Turdy, you have to try like cheese, mayo, lettuce, and tomato. I'm like, have you met Turdy?
Are you new here?
They said mayo.
Mayo. Can you imagine somebody telling me that?
They said, well, it's nice to have new toasters, you know, so I'm not going to knock it.
So
I'm
true.
I'm not going to knock it. I'm so thankful to everyone.
It's a sign of new life.
It's a sign of new life. If you guys don't know that Turdy would never touch mayo with a 10-foot pole, yet her husband is made of mayo.
Yeah.
Then welcome to the toast.
We should do a Patreon, kind of like those games they play on Watch Robins Live. Would Turdy eat it? And you just like rattle off things, and I probably wouldn't eat most of them.
So the answer is no.
Yeah, it would just be like kind of a boring episode. Like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, but there's some weird things that you eat. Like two.
True,
things.
Cottage cheese.
Yeah, I guess that's the only one.
No, I also weirdly eat.
Do you like gefilte fish?
Jackie, BFFR, be fucking for real.
Yeah, but sometimes you'll put aside your distaste for things, like when it comes to your culture.
Kasha varnishkas. Like, you would never catch me eating lentils, but kasha varnishka, the traditional Eastern European dish, love.
Right, so that's why I feel like gefilte fish isn't that crazy.
No, it is.
I love that's like the fish.
Of all like the Jewish foods, that's probably the craziest one. And
no,
I would
Claudia, there's like crazy, like intestines, like
oh yeah, like kreplach.
Yeah, even chopped but liver. But no, even chopped liver. Liver. Yeah, that's chopped.
But I stand by that. Gefilte is like still one of the crazier ones.
Okay, you just got to get a little horseradish on it. It's so good.
Absolutely not. That's so never gonna happen.
So good.
Like, I guess, right?
We could dive in.
I guess.
If we must. Yeah. There's some things that we need to discuss that need Turdy and I's take.
I guess. I just, like, would so much prefer to keep talking about ourselves.
I know. I can't believe. I can't believe how, like, the Fast Five is really in its flop era.
No, it is. Jackie and I were having this conversation before we recorded because she spent 40 minutes looking for stories and when it shouldn't be that hard. And the Fast Five is definitely in its flop era, but I don't feel like it has anything to do with us. It is the summer. Everything, no matter, you know, what industry you work in, I guess unless you work in like pools. But the summer is slow for everyone and everything.
Or celebrities camps.
Celebrities are or like sunblock, you know.
Or if you live in like a summer beach town.
Yeah, like if you're like in Montauk or something.
Or like,
but like
Cousins.
But, like, besides that.
Do you like my reference to the kids?
Cousins, I did. Thanks. Besides that, like, it's notoriously slow for a lot of industries, pop culture being one of them. Celebrities are in Greece, in the south of France. They're not making news. Like, they're taking the summer off. So I don't feel bad that the Fast Five is in its flop era, honestly.
Yeah, no, and it's, like, just like anything else, you know, it comes in waves and things go up and down. Like, it's not has nothing to do with the Fast Five as a premise or anything. It's just, it's crazy. But maybe that's just because we're, like, also we in our personal banter are in our, what's the opposite of flop era?
I don't know. Wait, that's, like, a really good question.
Like, peaking?
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I guess.
Because, like, oh my no, God, I did something right. so crazy the other day. And I watched a little bit of an episode of The Toast from April 2018, the first month of The Toast. Which
oh
is
my
like,
God,
you
how?
Think, I know, you think it would be horrible. And like that, I would, that it's self-harm to do such a thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was really cute and
Stop,
good.
No, Jackie, my mole, I was so ugly. That was before my chin surgery, before my mole removal.
Okay, fine, but you sat on your other side, so like we didn't see your mole on camera.
Okay, okay.
Obviously, like it wasn't perfect, and I'm so glad we got rid of YouTube Live because we were always just looking at our phones, reading the comments. Like
yeah, like waiting for people to respond.
So lame. But one, it was really cute, and two, we literally got into the Fast Five after 1 minute of speaking.
No, I mean I'm looking at my computer right now. It's been 30 minutes.
I know. But I was, like, shocked. I was like, girls, what's going on in your lives? Why are we getting into the stories?
Maybe we had nothing going on, honestly.
That was kind of, you know, a
dark time for us.
A quiet time for us.
It was quiet on all fronts. Social, personal, business.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But honestly, I was mostly surprised with how little I cringed, considering, like,
oh, that's
everything
good.
That is in the rear view is cringeworthy to me.
Yes, but I actually, that feels familiar. I feel like when I've seen, like, old clips, like, we're so funny.
Yeah, and we're just, like, cute and we're having fun and we're young and taking a chance, you know? Trying something new, putting ourselves out there, starting our own business. Like, it's sweet.
When we started The Toast, we truly were the definition of two people with nothing to lose. Like, we had nothing. Like, literally, we didn't have a brand deal. Like, we were like renegade outlaws, radioactive. Like, we had nothing to lose. And honestly, there's truly nothing funnier than somebody with nothing to lose.
Yeah, but I feel like as much as, yeah, we had nothing to lose, so we were willing to, you know, put it all out there, and we weren't, like, embarrassed or anything. But I also feel like we were really scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't say we were, like, renegade, just, like, being crazy.
No, we so desperately wanted and needed the show to be good. Like, we needed it to work. We had a successful show, and we were like, we are not going down like this.
Yeah, and we just, like, wanted people to like us. Like, we were just, like...
I felt, you know what? You're so right.
We're a little shy.
No, I felt like my name had been, like, besmirched, if mm-hmm. that's the correct word. Mm-hmm. And I felt so strongly that people were wrong about us. Like, they, you know, we got canceled. Everybody hated us. And they were wrong about us because, like, we are funny. We are amazing. We are such – I know we are. Like, I know who we are. We are an amazing group of people. And I was motivated to make people see that because I felt like they're wrong. They are wrong about us. And they
yeah.
were.
Yeah. 'Tis true. And they were. Look at us now.
Oh, baby, look at us now.
Look at us now. 32 minutes of pre-Fast Five.
Look at us now. Podcasting from home.
In the spooky, scary skeleton pajamas, not much has changed.
Spooky, scary. Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine.
Gorgeous. Okay, now we can
All right,
go.
I guess.
Now
I guess,
go.
Yeah.
Go. Without further ado. Here are the
You go.
Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Skims. All right, you guys, undies, bras, Jax and I have been through them all, but the Fits Everybody collection from Skims is the best. We are no longer keeping the secret to ourselves. The underwear feels like nothing we've ever worn before. It is so stretchy and soft. It melts into your body and you forget you're even wearing it. When it comes to bras and undies, Jax and I are two girls with needs. We are two very particular girls. And I'm not going to lie. When I heard about the Skims Fits Everybody collection, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm sure it fits everybody.
But not me.
Like, I have so many different issues. I have, like, rolls and pouches. Like, it's not for everyone. But Skims is the solution-oriented brand creating the next generation of underwear, loungewear, and shapewear for everybody. So Jackie and I are two busty girls. Jackie obviously has been through breastfeeding. I just have the biggest tits of all time. Like, we have different needs. And our favorite bras, we like to call them our relaxation bras, are from Skims. So I found out about these ones on TikTok. And they are everything. So the racerback bralette is the one I wear like around the house because I'm not one of those girls who can just walk around without wearing a bra. It's fabulous. And by the way, Jackie was the one who said to me when I was having crazy back problems, she's like, you need a new bra. And I now every single day wear the t-shirt bra. From Skims. And I have to tell you, my back problems are nearly non-existent. And I'm being dead serious. The Fits Everybody collection of underwear are lightweight, form-fitting, and essential. The buttery soft fabric molds to your body and stretches to twice its size. Believe the hype, this collection has over 90,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Skims Fits Everybody collection and more best-selling essentials are available now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders of over $75, all at skims.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by a life-saving product that I heavily relied on this weekend, Liquid IV. Proper functional hydration is essential, and Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Their hydration brand multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. Use it first thing in the morning, before a workout, when you feel a little run down in the afternoon, after a night out with friends, or on long flights. I always have one in my travel bag, and I cannot tell you how many times it has saved my life on a trip, whether I'm dehydrated from drinking or just so much travel and like forgetting to drink water. With just one stick, you can hydrate 2 times faster than water alone, and you're going to get a ton of essential vitamins. Liquid IV comes in 12 delicious, refreshing flavors to keep your hydration routine exciting. The flavors are really good. The vitamins that they have are B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, and it's just so easy to down it. You're getting hydrated. You're getting a boost of vitamins. It's made with quality ingredients. It's non-GMO, and it's free from gluten, dairy, and soy. They partner with leading organizations to fund and foster innovative solutions that help communities protect both their water and their futures. So to date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. So you can feel good about what you're purchasing, knowing you're making a difference. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TOAST at checkout. This is just something you want to have in your house all the time. You never know when you're going to need it, and you don't want to like need it and not have it. That's 20% off anything when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, some new couple news. Milkshake singer Khalees is reportedly dating actor Bill Murray.
I'm having a stroke. Shook, confused, I'm feeling scared. Like, I have quite literally no idea what's going on.
Right. Okay. So the U.S. Sun reported that Khalees, who's 43, is reportedly dating the Ghostbusters actor, who is 72. Per the outlet, the two sparked romance rumors after Bill Murray watched the bossy singer perform at a recent show at the Mighty Hoopla Festival in South London last weekend. He was also spotted supporting her at some of her other performances. Sources close to the pair told The Sun that they were also seen together at the same hotel and have been getting close for a while after first meeting in the U.S. Also, she posted some bikini pics from Greece this weekend and seemed to respond to the rumors because someone commented, "Ma'am, would you care to address these Bill Murray allegations? Because damn, what's he doing with all that?" And she said, "LOL, no, babe, I wouldn't bother at all." So I feel like she's saying, "I wouldn't bother to comment on these rumors."
Yeah, right, right. Not that she wouldn't bother with Bill Murray.
Right. But who knows? I mean, but I'm choosing to believe this couple, and I ship. I really do.
Okay, here's what's so funny, because when you were, like, saying their age difference, I was like, oh, that's, like, really not so bad. Like, she's 42. But, like, if he was 40 and she was 10, like the 30, no. You know what I mean? Like, the 30 years, like, it's actually a lot.
For sure. 30 years is a lot, but you cannot compare the 30 years between 10 and 40 to the 30 years between 40 and 70.
No, of like, course. By the way, math was wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, like, make a joke out of that. Not 40 and 10, like, 20 and 50. We would be like, ew.
But even
but that's
still,
because, like, a 20-year-old's brain, like, isn't fully developed and they're not, like, mature enough.
Even still, like, the older you get, like, those big age gaps aren't as big of a deal because, like, you are who you are at that point. Like, and there's not that much, the rapid development that happens when you're younger, like, really slows down once you get older. So,
yes.
I thought you were going to say 42-year-old man and 72-year-old woman if we would be saying the same thing. It would depend on the couple, honestly.
I think I would. I think I'd be saying the same thing. I ship too. To be honest, I wasn't entirely familiar with her. Like, I obviously know Milkshake, but I don't, like, know her as a person or, like, an artist. So, if anything, like, Bill Murray kind of making her a star is everything.
Yeah. I'm totally here for it. I feel like people are really surprised, but are here for it.
Still positive. Yes, I agree.
And I don't keep up with Bill Murray either, so I don't really know, like, what the read is on him. Like,
there's some bad stuff. Like,
is he not, like, beloved?
He was beloved, and then, like, very recently, I think he was, like, fired from a movie, or there was, like, I'm not entirely sure, but, like, there were some weird things he was being accused of, like, you know, not being, like, the most appropriate.
Got it. So that's starting to ring familiar. I feel like we had a story on it.
Yes, right. But, like, for so long, he was, like, and I think he still is, like, considered one of the greatest comedy actors, and very well respected. But I do think he's had, like, you know, a change in likability over the last few years.
Yeah, just, like, his shtick hasn't aged well.
Right, right. And you know what? You can't be doing comedy for that long without, you know, without the consequences.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, this is, like, an age-appropriate relationship, weirdly.
Yeah.
And so, I ship.
It's cute. Yeah, I have them lots quite of love. Literally no problem with this.
Yeah.
Wishing them the best, honestly.
Wishing them the best. Our next story is some other, not new couple news, but just two people in the same room, and I want to take your temperature.
Okay.
A source says that Irina Shayk threw herself at Tom Brady at an A-list wedding this weekend.
And you would do it too.
Spies told Page Six that fame model Irina Shayk made a beeline for newly single Tom Brady at the much-talked-about wedding of Joe Namad and Madison Hedrick last week and scarcely let him out of her sight throughout the weekend-long festivities. But Shayk's manager strenuously denied that account, telling Page Six it's totally fictional, but they were both guests at the billionaire Art Air's wedding in Sardinia last week.
Okay, well, let's just, like, talk about this as if it's true, because let me just say how I can see this being true, because Irina Shayk is a woman, you know, she's a human being, and even though she's perfect and has dated, you know, the finest men that this country has to offer, she's still human, and Tom Brady is the most eligible bachelor right now.
And, honestly, like, her taste is the finest men that this country has to offer. Tom Brady is that.
No. And Tom Brady's taste is the finest woman, model. Honestly, Irina Shayk and Giselle are so similar looking, and they have, like, really similar vibes. I could see her thinking, oh, he would be into me. He was into Giselle.
Yeah. No, like, this is such a duh. I can't believe we didn't think of it sooner.
Yeah, right.
I do hope that they conversed this weekend. I feel like all they would need to do is have a conversation to realize, like, oh, we should date. Even if we don't work out, like, you're my type, I'm your type, we're both single. Duh.
No, Jackie, like, Irina Shayk is copy and paste Giselle. Tom Brady is copy and paste Bradley Cooper. Like, this is literally the same couple, but just, like, a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, if I'm Irina Shayk and people are saying this about me, I'm mortified.
No.
Whether it was true or not. Like,
the most desperate things about Irina Shayk. Like, that about how she's so desperate. Like, how she's so desperate to have Bradley back. Like, that she just moves in a desperate way. And I don't know if that's just who she is or, like, someone's out to get her. But
No, by the way.
It's not nice.
Somebody's totally out to get to her. Because, like, the last couple of things we've, like, spoken about her, it's, like, she's not, like, coming off looking amazing.
And she's constantly coming off like she's conning Bradley Cooper into getting back together with her.
Yes.
And she's, like, staging photos to make it look like they're together. Yes. When they're not. And I don't know who's doing this to her, but she has enemies.
Yeah, either she has enemies or she's a desperate person. And honestly, if she's a desperate person, like, I've truly, like, I never thought I would have anything in common with Irina Shayk, and, like, it really makes me relate to her. Like, even the most beautiful women in the world are, like, desperate for attention and love. And you know what? That's the great equalizer, desperation.
Yeah, but I guess, like, when your type is the greatest men that this country has to offer, like,
you got to be desperate.
Yeah, it's a hard place to be. Like, maybe if she could, like, lower her bar a little bit, like, there would be more men, like, more, a bigger pool, and she wouldn't have to act so desperately.
I just want to say, like, obviously I'm a married woman and I'm not, you know, like, a great beauty. I'm not, like, one of the most beautiful women. I'm not, like, one of the most beautiful women in the country. But, like, if I was, Can I tell you, and I really feel like this be true, like, I feel like I would not be going after the Tom Brady's and the Bradley Cooper's. Like, it's too much pressure. I feel like they're so much better in, like, idea than they are in actuality. I feel like, you know, they're not going to have, like, the best personalities. And then it's like, I have to be perfect my whole life because, like, men age so well. Like, I would honestly, like, no, and I feel like I say this all the time, like, nobody has designed a life better for themselves than Miranda Kerr.
So what would you go for?
I would go for, like, the tech billionaire nerd who's, like, still cute and handsome, but he's not, like, the greatest, hottest. Like, Evan Spiegel is very handsome. He's, like, a cute Jewish nerd. He will age normally. Like, he's not Bradley Cooper. He's not Tom Brady. Like, he's very normal. And Miranda Kerr is still at the top of her game. But, like, maybe a time will come where she doesn't want to be so beautiful anymore. And, like, she could just relax, you know?
Yeah. I do still think, like, he is a choice that's still at that, like, level of...
No. He's not at the same level as Tom Brady and Bradley Cooper.
No, just because, like, Tom Brady and Bradley Cooper, like, yeah, they're, like, not real.
Right.
But still, like, with Evan Spiegel, you got to behave still, turdy.
Of course. But, like, I feel like the pressure with an Evan Spiegel is so much better than the pressure with, like, a Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I look at her. I've recently started following Miranda Kerr on, like, every social media platform. And she's killing it. Like,
But also, he is, like, the most handsome tech mogul. So, like, she went for the most handsome one.
Okay. There's not, like, so much competition with, like, handsome tech moguls. They're not, like, a lot of handsome ones. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I agree with that. But it's a different pool than, like, the upper echelon A+. You know who's another person who did it right? Jasmine Tuks.
Who's she with?
Okay, so her husband, I want to get this right.
Honestly, low-key, a lot of those model girls have really nice marriages.
Okay, he is a businessman and media personality who also works at Snapchat. That's why I had an association. He's the director of international markets. Oh. But they had this, like, insane wedding. I believe he's, like, very high up in government. Or, like, he has, like... something. Oh, sorry. Yes. He's the son of Ecuadorian vice president. So when they got married, I think they got married somewhere and it was, like, fancy and, like, they were, like, diplomats and stuff. Like, she runs in a fabulous circle of people.
Okay. Let me ask you about another one.
Sure.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley and Jason Statham.
Okay. Very interesting as well because
he's, like, technically, like, a good looking actor, but he's a real person, I feel.
Yeah, okay, so he's a good-looking actor. But, like, when you see these two people together, like, she's infinitely better looking than him. Like, if he was a regular dude, like, sorry, nobody would think he was handsome. He's just handsome because he's, like, an actor. And he's cute. He's not, like,
no, he's cute. Handsome. He's really handsome. And he's, like, he has something very, like, he's always playing, like, a handsome man.
He's Jason Bourne. That's what it is. So he's, like, you know, a daredevil, like, like a Bond type.
Yeah, that's handsome.
Yeah, I mean, but she's much taller than him. Like, I think they're evenly matched, and I think they're, like, a real love match. I think they've been in love for, like, a really long time, and I ship and I love. I think she also did very well.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Like, you obviously have a lot of options when you're a part of, like, the most beautiful women in the world, but you want to make, like, a lasting marriage. And I think these three women did an amazing job.
And you got to get creative a little bit. Like, you don't go for the obvious choice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You don't go for the, and I wouldn't either.
No, but Irina Shayk keeps going for the obvious.
Yeah, remember when she was with Kanye? Like, it's just so obvious. Like, come on, girl. Like, you need to punch down just a little bit, I think, if you really want to make it work.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully she'll hear this. But I hope she got a date with Tom Brady.
Win a date with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Shawn Mendes is causing a little controversy with his new single.
And you know what?
Album art.
And you know what? Like, I'm about to become, like, a Karen because I'm with the people giving backlash, which I never am, but it's, like, question mark?
Yeah. No. Shawn Mendes was slammed for using a photo of New York City engulfed in wildfire smoke to promote his new single. So he came out with a song on Friday, and it's called What the Hell Are We Dying For? And the artwork for the single is the pictures of New York, like, one of the pictures of New York orange from last week.
Right. And the, you know, New York was orange because, like, people's homes are burning down. Like, it's not cool to use that
as wildfires. Yes.
Oh, and let's keep in mind, Sean is a Canadian king. Like, this felt very bizarre. And, like, this is just one of those situations where it's like, you know how many people had to approve this or, like, you know, make the artwork? And not one of them was like, is this a bad idea?
Yeah, that is weird. It's just weird. And I feel like he was intentionally provocative, but it's, like, not doing what he thinks it's doing.
Yeah, no, and it's like, I'm all actually about being intentionally provocative. But I don't see what, like, the good side of this provocation is. Like, I only see this, like, feeling icky and weird.
And what was the artwork gonna be before last week?
Right, right, because he, like, posted this on, like, Friday, and literally the wildfire, like, smoke ended in New York on Friday.
Yeah, and it was, like, I'm sure he recorded the song the week before. Like, what was the plan before that?
Right. Like, that picture he used was taken Thursday.
Yeah. Was that Thursday?
What was that, like, was, like, the worst day. No, Thursday.
Really?
No. Wednesday and... No, it was both, actually. Wednesday and Thursday were both terrible.
Okay.
But this is, you know... I hate to jump on a bandwagon of backlash because most of the time backlash is moronic. And, like, okay, we shouldn't kill Shawn Mendes. But, like, no, this was definitely a bad choice. Like, I'm just not...
I actually don't think there's that much backlash, like, considering how fucking weird it is. Maybe just because, like, Shawn Mendes is, like, not on everyone's radar. It's not like it's, like, taken over headline news. Yeah. Like, Shawn Mendes canceled. It's just like, oh, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, I feel like this is just one of those situations where a celebrity is... They really, like, don't live in the real world. And every now and then we get a glimpse of, like, how out of touch they are. And this is just one of those things. It's giving like Imagine video.
Yeah, and I also could see it, like, people on his team being like, I don't know, Sean, I don't know if that's your best idea, and him being like, no, this is it, this is important, like, this is the message, this is the moment.
Oh my
and
god, just totally,
like, kind of
like, what are we doing if we're not doing this?
And, like, pushing it down the field and making it happen, because I think a lot of people would see this and be like, I don't know, Sean,
this feels off.
Yeah.
By the way, him and Camilla broken.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they, like, tried to give it another chance. You know, maybe they broke up and sometimes you just need closure. But they broke up.
I just don't understand why. They clearly love each other so much. Do you think they broke up over this picture?
No, they broke up before. They broke up before.
Maybe she knew it was coming out.
Maybe she was the one trying to tell him.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. Because I feel like Camilla's, like, definitely really connected to, like, her fans and the real world. And, like, maybe Sean's just, like, a little too... Because Sean's much more famous than
her.
And
maybe that's, like, the underlying issue in their relationship all the time is, like, he's too...
He lives in a fantasy world.
Yeah, and then this was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. It's, like, if you think that that's good PR, normal, then we clearly have less in common than I thought.
Yeah, maybe this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Even though that's probably not at all what happened, it's the narrative I choose to believe.
I'm with you, girl.
Especially when they don't give us anything. Like, okay, so I'll make something up. So I'll make it up.
Literally. And then the one thing they do give us is the picture of the Canada wildfire.
Right. This is all I have from this week, and I know that they broke up. I'm going to say the two are related.
The two are inextricably linked.
Yeah.
Well, wishing them the best. I didn't hear Sean's new song. Not that I, like, really would listen to, like, a new Shawn Mendes song, like, the second it comes out. But I definitely was like, oh, Shawn Mendes is, like, in, like, a weird space right now because he just put out this weird thing.
He is in a weird space. And no, he is not dating Sabrina.
No, he's not. And maybe that's what's wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. Shawn Mendes has good songs, though, like, when I do listen to them.
In My Blood, like, that's a pussy-popping song.
Do You Got Plans Tonight?
I'm a couple hundred miles from Japan and I. That's a good song.
Yeah. And the other one, Blended or something?
Also, does he have a song called Wonder?
Yeah, I wonder what it's like to be loved by you. Maybe so that's good, what I meant by blended.
For me? What? Maybe no. You're just, like, always thinking about that Drew Barrymore movie, Blended.
Maybe, but you know what? I'm going through my Shawn Mendes.
Does he have a song called Blended?
No, I think it was Wonder. I think it was Wonder, but it's just, like, one word song, you know?
Yeah, sure. also, I think one of Shawn Mendes' better songs is the first song he ever released after Vine. It's, like, giving very much, like, soundtrack to a Disney Channel movie. It's called Something Big. Something big, I feel it happening out of my control. So good.
Oh, he's also on the Descendants soundtrack.
A Disney king.
With a song called Believe that's in my saved songs. Must be good.
Must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just hope, you know, Shawn Mendes can learn and grow from this and do better.
I hope so, too. I don't think, Sean. The thing is, I don't think that he's going to, like, I don't think he's apologized or anything. Like, he's taking a stand.
Yeah, no, he's like, this is what I was.
Haters be damned. Like, this is what I want to say. This is the moment.
Totally.
That's what he's saying. So I don't think there'll be any doing better from him.
Damn.
That's so Sean.
That's so Sean.
Okay, let's get into our next story.
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Squarespace, perchance?
Yes, it is.
Squarespace is everything to sell anything. Squarespace has the tools you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. So head to squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Whatever you want to create a website for, whether you want to get into blogging, e-commerce, whatever it is, show off your stunning portfolio of photography, videography, Squarespace is the perfect place to start. I feel like creating websites should not be that hard. Like, you don't need a computer science degree to use Squarespace, and your result will look like a website that was made by like a fancy company. So whether you're using it for e-commerce, social media, Squarespace has the best tools. Like, they have traffic overview so you can see how your visits, unique visitors, page views are trending over time. You can gain insight into the top traffic sources, products, device types, browsers, and operating systems. They also offer content ownership. So you own all the content you put on the Squarespace platform. They offer a one-click data portability. They can help you with email campaigns if you want to grow and engage your audience with the Squarespace email campaigns. You can create powerful email content that matches your website with your existing products, blog posts, and logo. You can also share on social. The Squarespace blogging platform supports a configurable share button, letting your visitors share content on the Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, StumbleUpon, Reddit, Pinterest, and Tumblr pages. So again, if you want to take control, go to squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at The Perfect Bar, the original refrigerated protein bar that you know and love. If you haven't heard, Perfect Bar just launched a new line of protein bars called Perfect Bar Layers. So the layers are a new line of crispy protein bars stacked with three delicious layers and packed with whole food nutrition. They're made with a crispy base of peanut butter and cashew butter, and they're layered with dark chocolate or 100% real fruit, and then they're sprinkled with toasted gluten-free oats. They're packed with up to 11 grams of protein. They come in two delicious flavors, crispy peanut butter and chocolate, and the crispy peanut butter and berry, which is basically like a healthy peanut butter and jelly. Because they're made with only whole food ingredients, they're a classic blend of 20 organic superfoods, and they contain no artificial preservatives. Perfect Bar layers are stored in the fridge, so you could say that these bars are stacked and packed. And honestly, the fact that they're kept in the fridge brings me so much peace of mind and makes me question every other bar that's not. Like, how gross is that? If you aren't already convinced, they're also non-GMO Project Verified, gluten-free, soy-free, kosher, and low GI. The best part is that you can now find them in the refrigerated section at Targets nationwide. Perfect Bar knows that it'll be love at first bite, so they're offering you a chance to try their new refrigerated protein bars for free. Here's how it works. Sign up for email or text and upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store, and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar. It'll go directly into your Venmo or PayPal account. All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get that free Perfect Bar today. That's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. Happy snacking!
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome, Jackie.
You actually just made me really want a Perfect Bar, but I'll wait.
Yeah, because you eat on this podcast and you get killed.
It's so true.
Is this the fifth story?
It's the fourth.
Oh.
I'm just thinking of ways that you could eat on a podcast and get away with it. Maybe AI could figure that out one day.
Maybe AI could figure that out one day.
Until then, I'll starve. Next. So Chloe and Tristan's son Tatum had the last name Kardashian at birth and later changed it to Thompson, TMZ reports. So Chloe wasn't messing around when her son was born, giving him the last name Kardashian instead of Tristan's last name, but later had a change of heart. Sources with direct knowledge tell us Tatum Thompson, as he's now known, was initially legally a Kardashian. The sources say Tatum also wasn't his first name, though we're not sure what first name Chloe originally chose for the kiddo. Eventually, Chloe decided to drop the Kardashian name, and now Tatum's legal name is Tatum Thompson moving forward. I think at first he was Baby because she couldn't decide on a name. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that we've seen in this season so far. is like her being not unsure of his name, but like they are calling him Robert. I think for a while, like maybe his name was going to be Robert, or maybe like Chris really wanted it to be Robert and she decided on Tatum Robert. So another one who's having a journey with her child's name.
Yeah. And also I think people are looking into this as like, you know, Chloe and Tristan's relationship, but I'm sure she wants Tatum to have the same last name is True. I think Chloe went with the T names because Thompson, like Chloe Kardashian, True Thompson, it's like an alliteration thing. So I don't think there's like this means anything.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the only thing that means something is like when she initially didn't use Tristan's last name. Like that.
Yeah,
moment,
I guess.
She must have
maybe
been
she
like,
was just mad at him.
Maybe. But I think, or she knew that the name was going to change because if it was like Baby Kardashian when. At first, until she came up with Tatum. Like, if she knew it was going to change eventually, then she could add the Thompson.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just choosing, like, not to look into this too much, you know?
No, but it's just interesting. And again, to me, I'm, like, now so interested in, one, like, celebrity baby names, two, like, the baby naming experience in general, and three, like, baby name trepidation and regret.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. At this point in your first pregnancy, did you know that you were going to go with Harry?
Yes. Like, Harry's always been, like, a boy name that I loved and that our yeah. family has loved.
And now for little baby Larry, you have nothing.
No, no, I have choices, which is actually more than I had for Harry. Like, okay. I didn't really have a second choice for Harry except for Wolf. And that was only the week before when Kylie named her baby Wolf.
Somebody needs to use that name. Like, it's so cool.
It's such a cute name, but it's just, like... It was like Kylie said, like, he's not a wolf. So if you don't have a wolf, right. And there's no way to know when they're born, whether or not they will be a wolf.
Well, we know now, like, Harry was a wolf.
And you think his name should be Wolf?
No.
No, but he could have been Wolf.
Yeah, like, he would have carried the name with pride.
Yeah, so now I feel like more like how most people feel, which is just like we have a bunch of choices, and I'm just waiting to see. Each day I feel like more akin to a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I also will wait. Like, I'm not making any decisions yet, but it's just so hard.
I know.
It's so hard.
It is so hard.
And you could see Chloe struggling with it in this episode. And she said they're not allowed to call him Tate. I think Tate is such a cute name for Tatum.
I think it's the cutest thing ever. Like, Tater Tot.
Like, Tate's Cookie's my favorite.
I actually love the name Tate.
Love. And Tatum. But Chris tried to call him Tate and she said no.
That was also, like, just an interesting scene in that most recent episode. I just felt like Chloe was, like, just
she's struggling.
Going through it. Yeah, she was just struggling, and she wasn't her normal, bubbly, welcoming, effervescent self. Like, she's, like, having, like, a tough time with this baby. And I think, like, in a few months, like, maybe she'll come around to Tate. I just think she was, like, in a bad mood, and she was just, like, she was just saying no to life.
Yeah, no, she's going through, like, a hard period in life in general. Like, she had the cancerous...
Mm-hmm.
Cell on her face.
Tumor.
And she has, like, this drama with Tristan. She's, like, very anxious in general and just, like, having a hard time in the public eye. And she's, like, struggling with having a new baby that she didn't give birth to and, like, struggling to bond with the baby and didn't anticipate that whatsoever.
I have to say, Chloe has shared a lot on the show. But I thought her, you know, being honest about how surrogacy was, like, not what she thought it was going to be was so – probably one of the most honest things I've heard anyone say. I'm sure at some point she felt, like, shame associated with that and, like, didn't want to share it. But the fact that she did is, like – so, like, Chloe is constantly out here, like, laying it all out for this show. And she's really, like, the unsung hero of this show.
No, it's true. And, like, maybe people – even, like, if you watch the episode, Chloe's, like, not giving what she usually gives. But I actually think she's giving more because
of course,
because
she's really going through
it. Being and, like, saying things that – not many people have said or would say.
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure she was feeling like people would judge her for it, but, like, honestly, I feel like it's the most brave, honest thing anybody's ever said on reality TV. I was shocked when I heard it.
Yeah, I
agree. I love Chloe. Like, she's really far and away the best character on the show. It's close second to Chris.
Ooh, for me right now, it's Chloe and Kylie.
Yeah, but Kylie's just not on it a lot.
I know, but she just can do no wrong by me right now.
No, and she's just so fabulous. And I feel like she's made it a point for, like, a really long time to not let people, like, know who she really is. Like, I think the people around her know. I think she's, like, kind of quirky and weird. We don't know that. Like, she shows us what she wants to show us. She had that privilege because she was the youngest. And by the time it was her time to shine, the show was successful. They didn't need her to like bleed out. And every time we get like a little glimpse into her actual personality, it's so interesting, but we don't get a lot.
No, we don't.
But she's like kind of crazy.
But maybe that's how she maintains like a pretty good head on her shoulders, because
yes,
like I feel like Kendall struggles with that. I feel like every time yep. Kendall like wants to put herself out there, like she's brutally rebuffed by the fans mm-hmm. and like everyone.
She's like roasted.
Picks apart everything that she does, and she already like has anxiety struggles. And I feel like Kylie actually has pretty sound mental health, probably because she delineates really well like what she'll share of herself.
Agreed. I agree. And she like became a mom so young, so she like took time off, especially when things were like at the height of like her fame in particular. Like she went MIA, like she was pregnant and then like not sharing. She really, I feel like of all them, has like the healthiest balance. And that's like a privilege because she was the youngest and like so much was done for her.
Yes.
I wonder if any of the girls like resent her for that.
Oh, I'm sure they probably more so resent her for like not filming and not opening up and sharing.
Right, but then like becoming a billionaire first for like all the work that kind of, you know, the OG girlies did.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some of that, but not enough because she keeps doing what she's doing. Like they don't right. get her into like joining the show in a real way.
Right. And it just, I think it's interesting how there's obviously like a conversation, and we're still having it. We had it on the old show and we're having it now about Courtney's commitment to filming when Kylie like does less.
Yeah, but I think it's like when the family sits down and they like talk about, do we want to do another season? I think Kylie probably votes no. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. It's true.
No, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Because I actually think like however they split up their money from Hulu, I don't know how it's done. Kylie does not need that to live. But I actually believe Courtney probably does.
Yeah.
Maybe not now that she's, like, in a marriage with someone who's, like, equally as successful as her. And if they share finances, like, I'm sure that's great. But, like, between Lemmy, Poosh, like, she needs the show.
Yeah, no, and also when she was doing the Today Show on last week's episode and she said how, like, for all those years, like, everyone was like, what's your brand? What's your brand? And she's like, I'm doing the show. This is my full-time job. So mm-hmm. that's her job. And she needs her
job. Yeah, right. Right, because I just don't think she has enough wealth to, like, not continue to work forever.
Yeah. Agreed.
Which, yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
You are. Okay, because it's an interesting conversation that's happening. The tides okay. are kind of turning a little bit in the world of Scandoval. Very slowly. Yes. But there's been a shift. So first, Lala Kent was talking to paparazzi. TMZ caught her at the airport, and she's kind of giving more of a changing tune on Raquel. So yeah. Lala changed her attitude toward Raquel after watching her scandal-scarred co-star cry and tell the truth about her affair with Tom on Vanderpump Rules. Lala said, when she finally had the breakdown, just as a human for me, it's like, it's a reality TV show. When I watched that, I was like, oh, we may be dealing with someone who maybe shouldn't be on this type of platform. When asked whether she had become more empathetic and less angry at Raquel, she sarcastically replied, am I empathetic? Shocker. I don't know how other people feel about the last 5 minutes, but I did sit there and go, she needs some real help, and I pray that she got it.
Yeah, they're definitely, and that's what we had said right when we recapped Vanderpump Rules' third reunion, is like, it felt like, not that she was doing it intentionally, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a wave of sympathy for Raquel, because when you can't watch that and think that that person is like, is okay. She was not in any way okay. And I think now in hindsight, like everybody, now it's done and we're all just like looking at the situation, like at a glance kind of, like it's, mm-hmm. The chapter is closed. And in no way has Tom Sandoval had any redeeming moments. I still think he's very much the villain of this whole story. And like, he's actually a bad person, not a person who made a mistake. I think Raquel is a person who made a mistake because she's so vulnerable and easily manipulated and clearly has mental health issues. Like it kind of seemed like during, you know, the fallout, she was very much disassociating, like, which I think is a natural reaction to like protect yourself, and people were like that gave people even more fuel, like she's not remorseful. And then we saw the moment where like all of the consequences of her actions finally hit her, and I think it probably like destroyed her. Yeah. And that's what we saw.
Yeah, so I feel like people are definitely even one degree more sympathetic towards Raquel after, one, she came clean. I feel like it's even, you know, in like a police case, it's like the person who tells the truth like gets a less harsh sentence.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how it is right now. Like, we just appreciate that she's being honest and she's exposing Tom Sandoval, like, even further. Mm-hmm. But there's also this small conversation that I'm starting to see people saying of the way that Raquel was treated at the reunion was not something that was acceptable. And even though everyone is hurt and everyone has their feelings, like, the way she was spoken to, the things that were said to her are not how you treat fellow human beings.
Yes. And you know what? I don't fully disagree with that. I think it's also just that trope of, like, you either die the hero, you know, Ariana, Lala, Katie, or you live long enough to become the villain. Like, now that we've been, you know, rooting and championing them so hard, I think a lot of people are like, okay, well, like, telling another human being that they are nothing and they have not a single person in this world that cares about them, like, that's what you say to someone. Like, you know, like, it's a little extreme.
It's a little extreme, and it's dark, and to all be, like, rooting for this, it does feel icky, and I think that it went too far. And also, like, these people, and I said this to you last week, not on the show, but, like, the people on Vanderpump Rules, like, who are also, like, giddy and gleeful about, like, the them going down, it's like they don't know how to win with grace and just like rise above and not get on, like, now they're all on the same level to me,
right? Like, you know? In and the it's trenches, like,
okay, cool, so now you're, like, just as nasty as the people that you think you're so much better than.
Right. And I think this conversation started because people who don't know, like, the full story or, like, the layers in the history just saw, like, a girl being literally told the worst things you can tell a human being. And it's like, you say that to a murderer, you know? You don't say that to a girl who, like, obviously what she did is horrible, but, like, to a girl who made a mistake.
No, and it's not just one mistake. I don't want to, like, downplay what they did, because what they did was really, like, it requires a level of
scheming and lying and betrayal.
Like, an intrinsic insidiousness to lie to your best friend for months. And, like, it's messed up on every single level. Just, she's still a person. And for all of us to endorse, like, this pylon.
Yeah.
It's a little icky. And I didn't, like, notice it until people started to say it. And I'm like, yeah, there was something that just felt
too far.
And, like, you're the good guys, you're supposed to be the good guys, like, you just don't, you'd be better off just, like, writing her off and ignoring her than, like, getting down to their level.
I am so curious, like, what the future holds for Raquel. Does she continue to film? Does she, you know, kind of leave public life forever? I know her family is, like, really worried about her and, like, doesn't want her back on the show whatsoever. And I don't think that, I think she comes from, like, a money. Like, I don't think she needs, you know, this job.
No, I'm sure the job is, it's a big job and it's a big paycheck. And even if her parents, like, might support her, they can't support her for the rest of her life. Like,
she could probably, but, like, go temporarily
run home and, like, live at home for a little bit. But, like, that's not a career. But I think if she's serious about her mental health, like, she cannot come back to the show.
Yeah. No, I
but if it's,
I
just think it's a play to get back into the next season and, like, you know, to rehabilitate her image, then
I don't think it is, Jackie. That was, like, not, like, she's not an actress.
No, I don't think that it is either, and I don't think that it should be. And if she is in that sort of place that's as serious as, like, we think it is, then I imagine that they would be telling her, like, you need to make different choices.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how that explains, like, the postcards and the letters being sent to Tom's house from her facility. Like, they're still, and, you know, that TMZ photo we spoke about last week where he was, like, on the phone with her, because she did turn on him.
Yeah.
So what does it mean?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. As much as she needs to exit reality TV, like, I also think she needs to, whenever she's done with treatment and when she's in a good place, like, maybe just sit down and, like, talk about everything, like, with more distance.
Yeah.
Because whatever she wants to do, like, next with her life, like, it's still her name that has been completely tarnished. And, like, she's already given this much of herself to public life. Like, what's one more interview where she can just speak? It will be interesting to hear what she has to say.
Yeah. She's just kind of the most interesting person in this scandal who has yet to speak.
Yeah.
Even at the reunion, she said a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah. No. And she just stood there and she took it.
She just took it.
Which is, honestly, what else could she have done?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely an interesting conversation, and I don't know what the right, like, answer is, but I think people kind of identifying, like, a weirdness that they felt for this girl, like, is fair.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think people
and, like,
were,
a sadness.
Are then, like, disappointed in Bravo that they would, like, air, that they wouldn't be able to see that this has gone too far, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's so Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't, like, actually take any moral stands unless, like... No. Everyone's unless the fans them. Yeah,
right, very interesting,
very interesting. So we shall see what's next, but now it's time for TV recap. Speaking of Bravo,
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on Summer House. I think I have similar thoughts. And the TV recap is brought to you by Honey. Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save money when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Did you know that it only takes a few seconds to get Honey? That means before you go to add it to your laptop or your iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad is even over. So here's how Honey works. Honey is the best thing ever. I can't believe there are people out there who don't have Honey, and I just found out that you can have it on your phone now. So when I'm always shopping, I'm always like using Apple Pay. It's so easy to pay for stuff on my phone. The fact that I can have Honey on my phone now is life-changing. So here's how it works. You're shopping at one of your favorite websites. You go to checkout. The Honey button will just appear, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey will search the internet for any coupon it can find for that website. And if they find a working coupon, which they do most of the time, you just watch the price drop. I have saved money on literally everything. I order everything online. Food, clothing, electronics, makeup, literally everything. So once they find a working coupon, then your price just automatically drops. It's so easy. It takes a few seconds to download, a few seconds to use, and you're just saving money. And people have literally saved thousands of dollars thanks to Honey. And now it doesn't just work on desktop computers. It also works on your iPhone. Just activate it on Safari on your phone, and you can save on the go. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid. And when you use our link, you're supporting the Toast. So get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney, joinhoney.com/toast. joinhoney.com/toast.
Thanks, Claude.
Okay, so I think the big conversation and the divisiveness in the seasons of Summer House is like, are Carl and Lindsay, you know, being treated fairly, or is this, you know, something they've had coming for years?
Okay. I can't speak about coming for years because I haven't watched every season of Summer House. I watched last season, so I know like some of the dynamics, and I've watched throughout the years. And anytime I've ever watched, like, Lindsay is just like not for me. Like, she's not someone
Same.
That I could see myself like being friends with. She, not because of anything that she does, just like her energy and her personality is like not my favorite type of girl, like, which is totally fine. I gravitate. No,
totally fine. Totally fine.
Totally fine. Which is why I'm so shocked this season. Like, I am so team Lindsay, like on a.
Me too.
On just a scruples level, you know, and it's yep. not about like who like I like and I'm just defending like who I ride for, because obviously like I love Paige. But
right.
Paige isn't really like involved. She's just like kind of a cheerleader. Because it's really Lindsay versus Danielle, but the whole house has taken Danielle's side because also they just like don't like Lindsay and Carl. And I just have
no. And by the way, my experience with Summer House is similar to yours, except for that, like, when it came to the drama, I always felt like what Lindsay was doing was so wrong, and I never understood why there wasn't this like reckoning for Lindsay. Like, she kind of got away with so much and treated people so poorly, and she was always wrong. And I was like, why is there not this like? You know, the way they, like, ousted Hannah. Like, they always have these, like, roasts of people. And Lindsay never got that. So if you would have told me that, like, this is the season, like, everyone held Lindsay accountable, I'd be like, great. But what they're holding her accountable for, they are so wrong on.
They're so wrong. I've seen no issue with Lindsay and Carl's relationship. If
Same.
Anything, like, all the other relationships in the house are so unserious. And it's so funny to watch these people try and tell Lindsay and Carl, like, how their relationship should be. Even, like, Danielle throughout the season is trying to be like, well, you guys should be fighting. Like, first of all, Danielle and her boyfriend broke up like 2 minutes later.
Right.
So it's just,
right.
you know, it's, and even in their relationship, like they had a very different structure than like Lindsay and Carl, who were immediately serious right off the bat. Like, Danielle and Robert moved in together for like 2 months after they met each other. And then like they have a hard time seeing each other, and he works all the time and like prioritizes
right.
that. So Danielle's like, you guys should be fighting. Then Lindsay and Carl get into a fight. And then the next morning they're like just acting normal. And she's like, well, you can't sweep it under the rug. Now you have to talk about your fight more. It's like, why are you policing how they handle their relationship? Like, you aren't the moral authority on relationships, one and two. Like, so they had a fight, which is what you wanted. Now they're not handling the aftermath of their fight the way that you wanted to?
That was the interesting thing about the reunion is, like, we're now all involved in Lindsay and Carl's relationship. And so they're obviously, like, dealing with this thing where, like, Lindsay likes to drink and party. But, you know, obviously Carl struggles. And, like, that's something they're actively working on. They said they're in therapy.
And that's another thing where it's, like, when Lindsay wasn't drinking for Carl, they're like, Lindsay's not being
herself. It's so weird.
Lindsay's not being herself, that she's not drinking for Carl. Like, that's not Lindsay. Then Lindsay starts to drink again. And they're like, how can Lindsay be drinking when Carl's not drinking? It's like, what can they do? Everything they do is wrong.
There was such a weird element to the reunion where it's like they're kind of, you know, talking about and analyzing things that go on in Carl and Lindsay's relationship that, like, they're fully aware of and they're working through. Like, what relationship is perfect? If anything, like, the fact that they had fights and that they're struggling with this, like, alcohol thing, like, that makes it normal and they're going to therapy. And, like, I just feel like the relationship is, like, weirdly so healthy. And everyone is doing everything they can to be like, this relationship is toxic.
No, their relationship is not weirdly, but it's a serious relationship. Like, from the moment they decided to start dating, like, they are on the path to engagement and marriage. And all the other relationships in the house, including Kyle and Amanda, because what, it took them 10 years, are just like these non-serious things. And they look at Carl and Lindsay and think like they're extreme and they're the exception. When it's like, no, they're just, they've committed to a different sort of relationship than the rest of you have, who are just like, I don't know, fucking around for a few years, don't care. Like, but one, Lindsay and Carl are older than them. Two,
not only
the
that
timeline that we're talking about, like, you have to remember,
people, it's so normal. It's so normal.
Like, people used to get married after 6 months of knowing each other, and those relationships have lasted 50 years. They moved in together after 9 months. She's a 35-year-old woman who has known this man for 7 years. Then 3 months later, they're getting engaged, and their engagement is about to be a year and change. I can't tell you a more normal relationship with someone who, when the minute you said you wanted to be their girlfriend, you knew that you were serious about and wanted to marry. Like, the way that everyone is making them feel like they're so crazy. If Danielle says hella fast one more time, like, I'm just like, what is fast? No, what's normal is just sitting around for a bunch of years, not sure about your relationship while you guys all share a bed with your friends.
Right.
And, you know, walk around in thongs in front of each other's boyfriends. That's more normal to you.
Okay, wait. Also, I think what's so important is, like, the context is, like, yes, Lindsay and Carl are older, but, like, they've both in the last few years, like, experienced, like, deep trauma and tragedy that, like, that matures you. You know, Carl, I think you can see it, like, between, you know, his, you know, entering sobriety and then losing his brother, like, that shit changes you for life, and, like, you become a more serious person. You understand what's important in life. Lindsay had a miscarriage, and, like, we saw last season how much that fucked with her and, like, I think really scared her. So the fact that these two people, like, went through serious things and then decided to become serious people is literally not shocking. It's, like, the most normal human reaction, and I just don't understand the hatred for their relationship. And, like, Danielle is so odd. Like, her behavior, and you know what? Her behavior was crazy, but the fact that, like, everybody took her side, I think, really empowered her to get even crazier, which is how we got to the engagement.
Oh, my God. I told you yesterday, nothing on reality TV shocks me anymore just because we've been watching it for so long. Everything is just, like, so contrived. You know, Scandoval shocked me, but it takes a lot. Mm-hmm. Danielle's reaction to her best friend getting engaged was the most shocking thing I have ever seen. Zach and I were watching. He didn't know what he was watching. He's just been, like, coming in and out. And he was like, what's wrong with her? Like, you find out your best friend is getting engaged to another one of your best friends, and you love them so much, you keep saying you would, like, take a bullet for their relationship. And your instinct is to burst out in tears when she's, like, sobbing. The girls are holding her, like, because your best friend got engaged. Like, I can understand on some level, could never be me, but I'm being open-minded. I understand on some level how your two best friends are getting engaged and you would like to have been a part of it. You know, like, he didn't reach out to you. If it was one of my best friends and she was getting engaged and maybe he reached out to other friends but not me, maybe I would, after a few minutes of knowing that they're getting engaged, I would be like, oh, I would have liked to, you know, help out.
No, by the way, same, but I would never Jackie, I would never verbalize that, maybe until a few months later if, like, we were drinking and I'd say, you know what, like, I wish I was told. Like,
no, but
I would never say
it
out loud.
I would have, like, moved on from it. Like, but for it to be your first reaction and your only reaction, and that, like, the joy that you feel for your friend who you've been with for so many years and you've watched her date all these losers and breakups and everything, like, that girl is, like, finally getting her happily ever after. Your best friend has found joy, even if it's, like, the relationship is moving hella fast for you, that your initial reaction isn't just, like, so happy. is so crazy. And for it to be the complete opposite, and the fact that she even thinks that she should have been involved in their engagement when, one, she screamed into
the whole summer.
Carl said he's looking at rings. She screamed into a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour before she found out they were getting engaged, when someone said they might be getting engaged next weekend, Danielle said, if they're getting engaged next weekend, I'm not coming.
No, and by the way, so that was before summer.
So that was before she even knew she wasn't a part of the engagement, and she didn't want them to get engaged. Why on God's green diddly dally earth would these people include you in their engagement?
No, and then also this conversation, like this witch hunt, like, did Lindsay know she was getting engaged? It's fake. They're fraudulent people. I want to tell you how every girl knows they're getting engaged. Like, to, on a small level, like, they know it's happening in a certain time frame. Things don't just happen out of nowhere. Like, you have conversations about whether you want to get married, what timeline you want to get married on. So, like, this witch hunt, like, if Lindsay even knew, that makes her, like, a fraudulent person. That's just not true. Like, on some level, most girls know roughly when, maybe not the exact hour of the day, but the week. Like, they know on some level. And knowing is not this, like, you know, people thought, like, if we could prove that Lindsay knew, it would show how fraudulent she is as a person. That's not true. So that conversation was so infuriating. And so let's say she did know. So? I knew.
Right. And it's like, if you know you're going to get engaged, should you, like, ruin the surprise just to be authentic?
Yes, you should look ugly.
No, yeah, you should be like, are we heading to my engagement? Just so that people don't question your authenticity.
Yeah, like, it was such a stupid, there were just so many conversations that were, like, quite literally, we got so lost in the weeds on those conversations at the reunion, and at the end of the day, okay, so, let's say she knew. What does that change? Literally nothing.
No, literally nothing.
That just means that they're in an honest and open relationship where they talk about the future.
But I also wasn't even convinced that she knew. Yeah, she looked extraordinarily nice for a bonfire, but her
she's on a reality show.
She was really shocked. I think she had gotten new extensions in general, probably because she knew she was getting engaged, like, soon-ish. So that kind of, like, made her look a little more elevated.
But like, who cares?
No, like, literally, who cares? But I'm also not convinced that she knew. I thought that her reactions, I actually was really moved by their proposal. I thought it was really sweet.
No, Jackie, like, the way I now ship the, and stand this couple, when I first heard they're dating, I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like, I didn't care much. But the way they've been just, like, nailed to a cross for what? And by the way, I was so deeply moved during the conversation how Carl basically, just like an asshole, told everyone that one time Kyle told everyone like an asshole that one time Carl showed up to work like having done cocaine, which is clearly like a really huge regret of Carl's and like something he is probably really ashamed of and definitely works through in his recovery. And for him to, like, just totally let it go because of, like, what happened to him and his brother. He's like, I know what it's like to say something you so deeply regret. And I didn't get a chance to, like, tell that person I was sorry. I thought was so – I just really indicative of the type of person Carl is and has become. And I'm not – I'm just not going to be thinking he's a villain because I don't think a villain could be capable of forgiveness like that.
No, I don't think he's a villain. And I actually – it made me really want to root for Kyle and Carl's friendship, even though I don't know – I haven't watched all the seasons, so it doesn't mean as much to me as it means to other people. But in that moment, I was like, oh, these two people, like, need to figure it out and remain friends. So also, Andy, like, took a side. He's been doing that, like, more recently. It's always fun when it's, like, the side that you're on, but it's really frustrating when it's not your side.
When it's not.
He just, like, took the stance on the second part of the reunion that, like, Danielle was justified in her feelings and that Lindsay was cruel in her treatment of her, which I completely disagree with, and really made, like, Lindsay concede to things in order to move forward that I don't think that she needed to concede, and that was really frustrating to watch. I'm glad that they, like, moved forward, but it didn't feel like it was a lasting truce because Lindsay was like apologizing for shit that she literally doesn't need to be apologizing for.
No, and Danielle's feelings are so crazy and they were validated all season long by everyone in the house, giving her more fuel to like act even crazier. So for Andy to do that too, like, I just didn't agree with.
Yeah, she didn't need the backup, if anything, like Lindsay and Carl did, because it was like them against the world. Also, not that there's anything else that anybody talks about on the season because everyone's obsessed with Lindsay and Carl, but I have a few other thoughts about the show itself, if I may.
Please.
I love Sam and Gabby. The first few episodes that I watched like the first four when they aired, and then I didn't watch until this weekend, and I really wasn't feeling either of them. Just their personalities, like, I didn't, like, gravitate towards, but, oh my God, I'm obsessed. Like, I'm obsessed with Sam and Corey.
obsessed with Sam and Corey.
Oh my God. Like, I need more. They're still together now. So mm-hmm. he's obviously going to be on like this next season with her. Like, I'm just so obsessed. I think they're so cute. It was really cute. Their first weekend together when he came to the house, because like, I guess Craig was there, or and they met and they're in the car like getting, picking up alcohol. Like, you're watching two people who are like really connecting and they're having easy conversation. And she's just, you could like see how he's just like falling in love with her because she's just like this bubbly, really sweet person. And it was
beautiful to watch. I completely agree. I'm obsessed with them. And I like her Instagram is all like really cute pictures of them. But that thing that Maya said to her like the day she walked into the house was so mean. And I thought she was really mature about it at the reunion. She like explained how like she didn't think Maya was coming from a bad place, but it kind of triggered any time someone has said that to her who was coming from a bad place. I thought it was so fucking mean, because I'm like that too. Like, I relate to Sam in the way that like we're a lot and we're like loud, and it's not for everyone, but like to be pulled aside like the day you get to a house full of new people, just being told to basically shut the fuck up.
It wasn't the first day, but it was
early.
Still rude.
It was so rude.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, if everyone's talking about it behind her back, what's the right thing to do? But she didn't say everyone's saying this about you. She said you do, like, factually, you talk too much.
It's just mean. Like, it's okay. Let's say she does talk too much. Okay, so like, it's not like she, you know, kills people too much. Like, it's just her personality.
Yeah, it was weird to watch. And now there is this weird dynamic, and it's interesting that this season, like, the new girls gravitated towards Lindsay, whereas they usually gravitate towards Paige and the bed crew.
And I always thought, like, in past seasons, like, that's such a plus in Paige and Amanda's column. It's like they're always so welcoming. And I think it really showed how, like, kind of toxic Lindsay and Danielle's friendship was. Like, they wouldn't let anyone in. They made no space for anyone else. Like, it was rude and it was really hard to be. And I thought Paige articulated that so well, how she was like, I was here, you know, as a new girl once. And, like, you guys were horrible to me. And that's why she's made a conscious effort always to, like, be in the bed with Maya and be in the bed with Sierra and, like, always welcoming the new girls. So I did think it was interesting that the new girls immediately were on the other side of the couch.
Yeah. And even throughout the season, like when Sam was like, I'm so happy about Lindsay's engagement, but I think I'll just like be happy over here because I don't want to like upset everyone. It was like no one all season, like Lindsay didn't have beef really with anyone other than Danielle outwardly. But like anytime something negative happened for Lindsay or like there was a fight or a conversation, like everyone was like a little gleeful about it. And it's like... Mm-hmm. I can understand, like, they're also human beings, and I can also understand maybe Lindsay is, like, an annoying fucking person, and so when other people are, like, seeing that, too, you're like, yeah, she's annoying. But when you're watching it as a viewer, it just, like, comes off really mean when everybody is treating one person that way.
Yep. Especially a person who's, like, obviously shown a lot of growth. Like, that's okay. I do believe when they were talking about shit that happened in the past, like, you know, the Dumois, like, I do believe Lindsay has probably her fair share of bad moments in the last few years, but, like, to bring it up now when they're so clearly in a different place and have been through so much, like, it just feels irrelevant.
No, and it's like if we're moving forward, then we cannot keep, like, bringing up old stuff if we've, like, said that we're moving on from it. Like, to me, that final conversation between Danielle and Lindsay that Lindsay was so terrible at, like, how is she terrible? First of all, she didn't say anything. She literally didn't say anything. That was like everyone's problem. Danielle called her a monster. Danielle said the friendship was over. Danielle was like losing her mind. And everyone was like, the way Lindsay treated you in that conversation. I'm like, Lindsay just like responded like yes or no.
No, and Lindsay was just like fed up. Like, this is a person who's like kind of crazy. Like, you really can't argue with them so much. And I felt like she was just like, I don't need this friendship anymore. So it's like not worth fighting for. So yeah, maybe she came off a little cold. But like, it's fucking exhausting to argue with someone who's like, so deeply unwell.
Deeply unwell. And all season, Danielle's like, I would take a bullet for you. It's like, you would take a bullet for me, but you couldn't be happy that I'm getting engaged to the love of my life. Why? Right. Why the bullet?
Why the bullet?
I don't need a bullet. I just would want you to be genuinely happy for me.
Yeah, which is like really not asking a lot. Or at least fake it. Fake it. I don't care.
Yeah. And also then the girls were trying to say that like Lindsay was mad at Danielle for becoming friends with like, you know, the bed crew.
Right.
But I don't think it was that. Like, I think it's like when you're best friends with someone, and since they all have to be in a house together, yeah, like she can go and be friends with other people. But like, if you start talking badly about me to people who do not like me, I cannot be friends with you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel too.
Yep.
Like, go be friends with them. Like, go talk about all your like fun stuff, whatever. But if you want to talk about me with my enemies, we can't be friends.
I completely agree.
And I don't think that that's crazy.
Me neither.
So I was fully Team Lindsay, and I just needed to get that off my chest because I was so surprised that I was so alone.
Well, I'm so glad.
Sam and Gabby had my back too.
Yeah, but you know what? That conversation about Gabby was interesting because I did feel like when she first got there, like, she wasn't really being genuine. She was, like, trying to, like, have moments and be funny. And I understood why, like, Maya and Sierra were, like, we felt like we would have had, like, an instant connection with you. And, like, you're just kind of, like, surface level. Like, I actually get that. But I think after that, they, like, totally wrote her off. And she was probably, like, nervous. Like, it's such a weird thing to, like, be in a house with all these cameras. Like, she was just, like, trying a little too hard in the beginning. And, like, then everyone completely wrote her off that by the time she got comfortable, like, they weren't even open to being her friend.
Yeah, that's how I felt as a viewer. But, like, when she finally was just, like, being herself and, like, just having, like, cute, real moments, I was like, oh, I really like her. And I felt that same way about Sam. Like, at first I felt like she was trying too hard. I didn't understand her. And it just took a little time. But, like, I think they're both, like, really cute, sweet girls.
Same. All right, so that'll be interesting to see, like, who goes to the wedding. And, like, you know, I'm happy for Lindsay and Carl, honestly. Like, weirdly, I ship.
Weirdly, I ship. They should invite everyone.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if they don't, everyone will hold it over them for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. But they said that they would do another summer in the house. So I'm curious who will be in the house again.
Well, the thing is, like, they obviously need Corey. They need more guys. Oh, my God. I don't even know that guy's name. Alex?
Chris?
Sure. Like, they need more guys. It's great that Corey's in a relationship. They need more single guys. And I don't know if there's actually, like, a lot of girls. I feel like two of them need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Paige will come back because also, like, Bravo loves Paige, her and Craig.
Paige is a fan favorite. Her and Craig are literally perfect for each other. I think they add, like, an interesting dynamic because they're, like, a serious couple. But they're, like, somewhere between Kyle and Amanda and Lindsay and Carl. Like, they're taking it slow, but they're serious.
In the last few episodes, they had some interesting conversations about their relationship that were very surprising to me in, like, I mean, obviously the big question is, like, when are they going to move in together and where are they going to live because they're still doing long distance. But they also just, like each other so much that they don't want to, like, ruin the relationship by doing something that, like, neither of them are ready for.
And weirdly, long distance, like, really works for them. They both have, like, very flexible lives. They spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, but they have to take the next step if they want to take the next step, which is, like, you know, marriage and kids. But they have to, mm-hmm. like, they were like, we know we want to get married and have kids and raise them in Charleston, but how do we get to that
place?
Like, because, you know, next we need to move in together, but, like, where do we move in? Paige does not want to move to Charleston right now, and I don't think that she should have to.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, if I was going to cut someone, it would probably be Maya, mostly because, like, she actually had a lot going on this summer. Like, her boyfriend cheated on her, and there was, like, so much that went down that she refused to put on air. Like, she didn't talk about.
She made him take his mic off.
Yeah, like, she's not open to sharing, and that's, I totally respect, but, like, you can't really be on a reality show where people are, like, literally out here bleeding out. I mean, Lindsay,
no,
with her miscarriage, like,
that no one called her out for that when, yeah. like, literally Carl and Lindsay didn't talk about a fight the morning after they had a fight the night before on camera, and that was, you know, obfuscating their relationship when Maya literally pulled Oliver into the bathroom, told him to take his mic off so they could talk about the fact that he had cheated on her. They were pretty much broken up, but that he was coming to the party that weekend just to, like, round out the summer so they didn't have to deal with the breakup on camera.
Right. No, she was, like,
producing
exposed.
Herself.
Yeah, right. And, like, she got no flack for it, but, like, a person like that is really not necessary on a show where there are so many girls already, and the girls are, you know, they're doing the most.
Yeah, and honestly, the bed situation this season really was starting to stress me out. There was a lot of bed sharing. There was a lot of slob-like bedrooms. Like, it was getting really bad towards the end. Like, I think I'd rather have, like, a more trimmed-down cast with everyone contributing than, like, you know, four people Willy Wonka in a bed all weekend.
Yeah. But I actually think, like, a lot of people were like, this season of Summer House is bad. I actually think it turned out really good. And people were like, I don't understand this group of people. I agree with that. But I do think there's actually, like, a lot of potential for where we go from here. You know, now knowing that we have, like, Corey and Sam. Like, I do think there is a world.
And Corey is best friends with Craig.
Right. No, and they need to bring, like, another cute Charleston boy who's single. Like, they actually, there's a lot of potential for this group. When the season first started, people were like, what the fuck is going on? And I agreed. But I actually think there's, you know, it could work.
Yeah, I think that it could work too. And I just was curious what was going on with the bedroom. Sorry, I just, you know me.
Yeah.
I can't get over the logistics, because in the downstairs master bedroom this season, there's two king beds. And it felt like nobody wanted to sleep there. Like, there were some nights where someone would sleep in one of those beds alone. I feel like maybe the AC wasn't working down there.
But maybe.
Then also upstairs, like, everyone was running fans 24/7. I feel like the AC in the house was broken this year. I'm just saying.
Well, like, a lot of the bedrooms were, like, altered this year. Like, they put up walls, they removed walls. Like, honestly, that double master was fucking weird.
Yeah, no, it was really weird. It was giving, like, Are You the One, where they all sleep, like, on beds in the middle of the room together.
But this was the first season where, like, Kyle and Amanda didn't just, like, automatically get the best room in the house. And I've always, like, felt like that wasn't fair. Like, yeah, you're two people, no, you're a couple. Did. But everyone is two people. They I thought they had a queen bed.
No, they have a king bed from the looks of it. They got the biggest one bed. The biggest room that has one bed and a bathroom.
Right. Right, right, right.
But I agree, because now Lindsay and Carl are engaged. They deserve a nice room, too. They have a nice room. Corey and Sam. Corey and Sam. Paige and Craig. But Paige, like, doesn't like her privacy.
Yeah, she likes to be with the girlies.
Yeah, there was one time Craig visited where he stayed in a room with her, Maya, and Sierra. And they were... They were, like, literally full-size beds that they pushed together. The four of them slept in a bed pushed together.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah, no, that was when things got shocking for me. I was like, summer needs to end.
Yeah, no, summer has taken its toll.
It's time to go back to the city. Could you imagine? I can't, like, imagine anything more uncomfortable to me.
Yeah, but you're just not like that, no, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm crazy.
You don't even like to share a bed with me. Like, when we travel for work, we get two hotel rooms. It's the craziest thing.
I know, but I feel like now if we traveled for work, we would get one. Maybe we're just closer now.
Yeah, no, it's also, like, financially more responsible.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's, like, on the one hand, you would think I would want, like,
no,
my
own. No, by the way, we do it when a brand or, like, a network has paid for our hotel rooms. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll take two. But if we're paying for it ourselves, we'll share.
No, we never shared. That's not even true. Like, remember when we went to, when we stayed at the Mondrian, we were just talking about this.
Yeah, we got two rooms, and they were both so big. It was so stupid.
But we were also, like, coming back from Stagecoach, where we just shared a house, and, like, you just need to decompress. At least I do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't mind. Like, I'm more of, like, a page in that sense. Like, I don't mind, like, you know, sleeping with other people.
Yeah, but now I do think it would be weird if we got two separate rooms, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, but I feel like I'm also just, like, now that I'm a mom, I'm just used to having, like, chaos around me all the time, whereas, like, I used to, like, just, like, really, like...
You're like a sanctuary.
Yeah, and now it's just, like, that's all gone to hell.
100%. Well, this was our longest show to date, and I think it's time we wrap it up. So thanks so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast and our podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Tomorrow we are in studio with Satcheler.
Satchel. Oh my God, I got to get my questions ready for her, for you to ask her.
And it's going to be great. You don't want to miss it. We love you dearly.
The reason why we went so long today is because we don't have to worry about the curds.
I know, because we're recording from home. We don't have memory cards. It's
so that's
fabulous.
One small perk of audio only.
Yeah.
Love ya. Bye.